Hello, and welcome to the AgTech So What podcast. Emerging technologies are rapidly changing the global agricultural industry, and we believe that this revolution is only getting started. But there's still too much hype out there and too big of a disconnect between ag and ag tech. So on this show, we try to bridge that gap. In each episode, we bring you the story of a different innovator in agriculture and try to find the place where ag and tech meet. I'm your host, Sarah Nolette. Welcome back to AgTech So What. Today's episode is the second in our series on responding to climate risk, produced in partnership with the Australian Farm Institute. If you haven't heard the previous episode in this series, check out Annika Molesworth in episode 42. Today we have two guests, another couple, Karin Stark and John Elder. John and Karin are responding to climate risk through innovation and technology by harnessing the power of the sun to fuel their irrigation system, and at the same time, benefit both the environment and the bottom line. In this episode, I chat with both Karin and John about how they decided to adopt this technology, what it has meant for them, and what they've learned.
Regardless of where you stand on the environmental debate, the business case stacks up. And for me as an environmentalist and running a business, that's a really exciting place to be.
That's John, who runs his family cotton farm in the central west of New South Wales. Together with his partner, Karin Stark, they have installed a solar diesel hybrid irrigation pumping system. They had a few goals in mind for this system, like reducing input costs, minimizing their environmental impact, and building resilience.
Cutting farmers' business costs is really building their resilience, like we're able to on our farm because of our solar irrigation pump. And when you build resilience on farms, that really leads to stronger, healthier communities because farmers employ a lot of local people from town. They spend a lot of money in the local town. So it all equates to really vibrant communities when you can help farming businesses to be more resilient and face future challenges. But I guess my biggest driver is the emission reductions because I read articles about climate change. That's my background, environmental management and environmental science. So being able to address both issues, so increasing energy costs for farmers and the environmental outcomes we get from more use of renewables rather than fossil fuels, is what really motivates and drives me.
With a 500 kilowatt capacity, the largest in Australia, the farm has been accredited as a power generating facility, able to feed energy back into the grid. On top of cost savings from using less diesel, the environmental impact is also significant. Karin and John have reduced their carbon emissions by 500 tons per year, equivalent to about 40 Australian households.
Cotton hasn't always had a pretty good rap and a good run sort of in public discourse around environmental issues. So I'm really happy, to demonstrate that as farmers in general, we're very quick to adopt these sorts of technologies and adapt to the challenges of climate change.
But despite these benefits and how proud John and Karin are of what they've done, uptake of this sort of technology is still in its infancy. Karin has been working to figure out why and how to overcome this.
There are a lot of farmers interested in solar irrigation because of the cost savings and emission savings, but not a lot of information out there from either suppliers, government, peak bodies, or the farmers themselves. So because of this, I ran a few seminars, which were really well attended, 50 to 60 farmers around Warren and Narrabri. And also I ran a field day at a neighbour's property who put in a 100 kilowatt solar diesel irrigation pump, and that was the largest at the time about 3 years ago. So I kind of witnessed solar irrigation go from theory to proof of concept with our neighbour's property and now to our farm, which is commercially viable.
Karin wasn't willing to take all the credit, but John had a lot to say about just how important Karin's insights have been.
Karin was instrumental in helping us get to a position where we were on the dotted line, going to Karin's workshops and so on. Yeah, that's had a big impact. And I think even the people that bought out the pumping business that we used to work with and who then bought the solar business in Adelaide, I think they came to one of Karin's workshops very early on and were really taken aback by the interest in farmers that were there. And I think the penny dropped for them to say, well, we need to get on top of this.
Now, the company John is talking about is Riaqua, who eventually installed their solar diesel hybrid system. Karin also now works for Riaqua and points out that one main barrier to entry for farmers taking on this technology is trust.
A lot of solar installers were approaching farmers back when I was in government saying, yeah, we can put on 100 kilowatts on your property, no problem to run your pump. But you really need to have the understanding of the farming operation, the water that's required, how it might blend with diesel if you're off-grid or with the grid. So it's not simply a case of a solar installer putting a massive array on a farmer's property. They really need that deep understanding on how it all works together, and also how the farming operation might need to change their patterns of watering to make the most of the solar array.
So communication is critical, as farmers need to trust that the businesses really understand their farming system and the impact of the technology, not just how the tech will work on its own. Another insight around adoption of this technology is the communication between farmers and the need for real-life examples.
We know that farmers learn very much by looking over the fence through a behavioural economic term called social norms. So there aren't a lot of systems out there for farmers to see what their neighbours are doing and therefore understand how it works and that it can work for them as well. So because of that lack of systems on the ground working, it's constraining investment.
And that's a big reason behind Karn organising Farmer Field Days. Karn says that whilst field days are a great way to get farmers in front of these new technologies, seeing and hearing others' experiences is just as important to get that social proof. And tech can help here too.
I do believe, and I've been told, farmers love to show up, kick the tires, look at a system, play with the pump, put their hands on things. But I do think things like podcasts and potentially, you know, videos of how systems work can help on that journey, because it does show them that other people are doing it.
For many farmers, the idea of upfront investment is something that holds people back. Karn and John worked really closely with Reaqua to get confident around the financials.
And they came to the farm several times, you know, looked at our figures, our numbers of diesel costs and how much water we use and how much that water costs and the solar system. So it was quite a complex and long journey, but it also meant that they were taking the time to really understand what we are doing, and they helped us to understand that, you know, with the amount of money we were spending on diesel, that we could pay back our system on diesel savings alone in 5 years.
Part of getting confident enough to make the upfront investment was accessing a low interest loan through the New South Wales Government Rural Assistance Authority.
They provide $250,000. I believe that might have even gone up now because of the drought, but $250,000 low interest loan to farmers. So we were able to take advantage of that, and it was about a 2% interest rate at the time that we took that up for our, that paid for about a quarter of our system. And that's because of the savings we were making in diesel, we were able to kind of cover that interest and pay that loan off over the next few years.
Even though the technology to respond to climate risk has improved and the cost of things like solar has dramatically reduced over the last 10 to 15 years, Karn believes that these government-backed financial incentives are still critical for farmers.
At the moment, because of the state of the environment and climate change and emissions, I do think government needs to be providing those types of incentives and low interest loans to help push farmers along that investment journey. And particularly because of things like the drought, there's not a lot of money that farmers have in their bank waiting to spend on a massive solar system or renewable energy project. So having that further incentive or subsidy, I think, will really really help farmers to invest in renewables, which will really in the long term help their business resilience as they're paying less on energy. They are more resilient to things like drought. So I believe that there needs to be more done at the moment.
So when it comes to actually implementing this technology, what does it look like for farmers? How does it shift current thinking and practices? And what does it mean for the bottom line?
A few months before we would plant our cotton and start the watering season, we'd turn on our bores, fill our reservoirs so that they're ready at the beginning of season. So for a couple of months out, you'd pump flat out. Where we've changed with the solar system now is we do what we're doing now is just during the daylight hours, we turn the solar system on and we just slowly fill those reservoirs using the sun over, say, 9 months. Rather than using diesel flat out for 2 or 3 months to fill it. So that's the main change. And during the watering season, when the bores are going 24 hours a day, obviously we're soaking up as much of the solar energy as possible to drive one of those bores. And what that's meant to us is we've halved those costs. It's now looking that we're probably going to save in the order of about 170, 180 grand a year, each year from pumping this way. We think on diesel savings alone, the payback period for our investment is probably somewhere around 5 to 6 years.
And they're also seeing financial benefits from being able to send their unused solar energy back into the grid.
We're now Australia's first cotton farm that's ready as a power generation facility. So from the sale of large-scale energy certificates, we get an income stream off that. And, you know, over that payback period, that's probably, you know, another 120, 130 grand on top of that. This stuff is almost getting into the realms of being a no-brainer. We were the first and we had a few teething problems with the equipment and so on, but all that stuff, you know, is going to be worked out.
Even despite these financial incentives, there is still concern amongst farmers when it comes to arable land being taken over by solar panels. However, Karin is confident that there are more innovations coming online in this space that will help.
There's been a little bit of resistance by New South Wales farmers around highly valued irrigated productive land being used for solar farms. And there's a company called Acuo that it's an international business, but they can grow crops underneath solar panels. So it means you don't need to fence off your solar array like we've had to and lose that productive land. So potentially farms can still farm even while they're generating energy on their property for their own needs and potentially to put back into the grid as well.
Karin's passion for renewables and the natural environment has been recognized by the 2019 AgriFutures Rural Women's Award, where she is a New South Wales ACT finalist. Karin is keen to share her passion and keep the conversation growing amongst farmers and businesses in an upcoming conference that features a bunch of innovations that are helping farmers respond to climate risk.
The Renewables and Ag Conference, which will be happening in Wagga Wagga on the 14th of November, it's the first time that an event like this has been run where we're bringing together people interested in agriculture and energy. So that's farmers and peak bodies, government representatives, ag and energy consultants. And we've got some fantastic speakers lined up. I'm really excited. We've got a winery called Keith Tullock that's based in the Hunter, which is the first winery there to be accredited to be carbon neutral, and they're using solar as well for their operations, so really cutting down on their carbon footprint, and they're really excited to be sharing their story. We've got another farmer who owns a piggery. I'm just at the moment just confirming him, but so what they do is capture the gas produced by the pig poo, give it a scrub, put it through a generator, it creates electricity, and they're actually able to meet their own energy needs as well as putting it back into the grid. So that's a really interesting way of using a potential waste product to cut your costs and also make money via feeding it back into the grid. We'll also have different speakers on different solar pumping systems. There's one coming down from Bundaberg. That's a grid connected solar pumping system, as well as a Victorian beef farmer who has been quite an early adopter in terms of battery storage and his livestock pumps, and he'll be talking about what he's learned in terms of when battery storage might work and some of the numbers that he figured out and how to look for a good supplier. So there's a few great speakers that are lined up already, as well as a professor from ANU called Ken Baldwin. He'll be talking about projected electricity prices and what farmers need to understand in terms of what their costs might be and inputs to the farm so they can work out the economics of a renewable energy system.
What Karin has found in organizing this conference is that ag tech innovation comes from a wide range of sources.
It's a mix of overseas farmers also being innovative. So I was talking to a pig farmer. His father actually rigged up two car generators instead of kind of going out and buying one. They were quite innovative and tried to cut their costs and use things that they already had to produce this bioenergy from the pig poo. So sometimes it's out of a necessity, and farmers are very smart in terms of, you know, tinkering with mechanics and understanding how things work. So they're sometimes coming up with things themselves.
This kind of on-farm innovation is a great example of farmers responding to climate risk in their own unique ways. And Karin believes that sharing these stories is integral to helping the industry develop.
Because solar irrigation is an emerging technology, it's really important for farmers to get out there and share their stories, and any renewables really are quite emerging in the agricultural space. So that's why I'm hoping this conference that I'm planning is one that people come to, because we've got some fantastic stories and speakers to share as well.
And if people can't wait for Karin's conference, Karin and John have some advice for how and why you can take action now.
So there's a lot of organisations out there, peak bodies or people like Department of Primary Industries, that have done research or do know who to speak to that are credible, trustworthy consultants or businesses. So to start doing those early numbers to see whether it's going to work out, but also consider the opportunity cost of not acting now as well. So if we had waited 5 years for our system to be a bit cheaper, you know, we would have lost the 200,000 savings that we're making every year now until that 5 years. So it's kind of the opportunity cost of not doing something as well.
It is early technology. There's plenty of suppliers around who will promise the world, but not many who can span all the disciplines needed to pull it off. So, yeah, I'd have a chat to people who've done it. Do your due diligence, do your homework in terms of the suppliers that you're talking to and questions, make sure they can answer your questions and that sort of stuff. It's not quite yet with a stage where you can just go buy a car, turn the key, and you're good to go. The people that you work with have got to understand your situation, your flows on the farm, you know, both workflows and economics and so on, and make sure that it works for you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. And thanks to Karin, and really good luck with the conference. I'm excited to see how that all goes. Thanks so much, John. And thanks, Karin.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks. Best luck.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of AgTech So What. You can stay up to date with the latest episodes and news at agtechsowhat.com. And as always, if you have any feedback or other guests to recommend, we'd love to hear from you. Just hop on the website and leave us a comment or send us a message. Finally, if you like what you're hearing, and we hope you do, please share the podcast with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening. Catch you next time.